You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Of the Tamaki Makaurau based pop punk slash rock band Club Ruby. The group have just released their sophomore EP, Don't Gaslight Me, which I think is a very, very fitting title for the subject matter concerned on that EP. We're joined by Jade and Hon from Club Ruby. Y'all there? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, howdy.
Cool.
Hello.
We're good. There's no technical issues. That's a miracle. Oh, my goodness.
Awesome.
Holy hecker. How are you all doing up there in the Big Smoke?
It's really muggy, humid, and it's really ugly and it's disgusting.
Wow. Well, we just ate some Thai eggs for breakfast.
Yeah, just to get into the mood.
Awesome. Oh, I'm very, very glad to hear. Last time, Jade, you and I had a conversation. We talked about your D&D, your Dungeons & Dragons campaign. I want to know, how is that going?
Going really well. We're going to start it up again soon. Mm. But my character has finally revealed my backstory to a majority of our members. So that's really exciting. And then in turn, we decide to make our EP photo shoot be D&D inspired as well, which I think was really fun to do.
Oh, crack up. And what about your character, Hon?
Is he chilling? He's chilling. He's just a farmer boy. He thinks Jade's character is a rich, pompous jerk. So
I'm a dragonborn, but we're from a family of tailors, but we have made it up in the world.
Is there a dragon, Dungeons & Dragon equivalent of Fonterra? And if so, are you a part of that, Hon?
No, I'm just a small village potato farmer.
Oh,
that
cool.
Is really good at a crossbow and left the village.
Nice, ka pai. Jade, I did a little bit of research, and you've got a really fascinating background. You're a former BFM host, trained as a business consultant, very strong theatre roots. You've been an extra on Shorten Street. You founded a non-for-profit to raise awareness among high schoolers of the injustices perpetrated by the North Korean government. You're also a professional voice actor. How's that going?
Oh my goodness, you went deep. I'm so impressed. Yeah, it's all happening. I think I do have a deep connection to North Korean human rights advocacy, especially through my godfather. Mm. He's founded this nonprofit called No Chain. Back in my day, I did workshops in my high school. I have a really close friendship with a propaganda artist, an ex-North Korean.
Whoa.
Who now does, like, anti-North Korean propaganda art, which is really cool. I think even with our music and this EP as well, like, we figured out that I think our true, like, calling is to kind of make music or be the voices for people that like us that may not have their own voice, I think.
I appreciate that sentiment, and I think you can feel that a little bit in the title, Don't Gaslight Me, which reminds me of a lot of those videos that are circulating around now of people talking to ChatGPT, and it's just gaslighting them. Like, people will be like, how many R's are in the word strawberry? And it's like, oh, there's only two R's, actually. Have you guys seen those videos?
Yeah, I've seen some of them. My favorite one was, oh, sure, you're drowning in quicksand, if that's true.
Yeah. Isn't that right?
That's crazy. Yeah, well, Han figured out if you're just really mean to chat, it'll be like, okay, I was lying.
Do you feel guilty at all doing that? Because, I mean, I know it's not a human, but it still is a very human voice. It's very deceptive.
I feel like I could still see it as like a non-human being. Every time I get like an answer, I always just stop, reply with, okay, you're lying to me, aren't you? Just to see if it is.
Oh, you got me there. I actually think we're just confused. We got off on the wrong foot. Actually, if we can circle back, yeah. It's so corporate, man. Oh, I hate ChatGPT so much. But anyway, enough about ChatGPT. I want to talk about the music for Heartbreak Overtime, the second track on the EP. It really blew up on YouTube with 55,000 views and was featured on Juice TV. When did you guys hear that it was making an appearance on Juice TV?
Ooh,
throughout the campaigns of Heartbreak Overtime and consecutively What My Bones Know, we were really lucky to work with our PR person, Samantha Chong.
Oh, shout also, out. She's a legend.
Yeah.
So she just kind of was doing all the emailing and was like, I'm going to try to get y'all on Juice TV. And then she was like, guess what? They're going to premiere it. And then we were like, dang. Yeah. But we've heard about people seeing us like at the gym, like in a supermarket. It's been pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. That's such a surreal experience to just be so public like that. Man. I saw a pretty funny photo of you guys performing live, and Jade, you had a slide whistle in that photo. What song do you bust that slide whistle out for? Is it anything from the CP?
Not this EP, but the previous one with Was God Birth?
Yeah, in Was God Birth from our first EP. And then this year we're hoping to write an album. And we have our song that's not been released yet called Shadow Lives On.
Mm.
And I do like a crazy, oh, that's like kazoo and slide whistle kind of solos at the end. It kind of goes more prog in that one.
Nice. Is Shadow Lives On a reference to like Shadow the Hedgehog?
It's definitely inspired by Shadow the Hedgehog.
Really? Legit?
We wrote it around the time Sonic 3 came out.
And then... I mean, in True Club Ruby style, like, it's about, like, my relationship with my father. but then every time I said the title, everyone's like, Shadow the Hedgehog? And I was like, of course. Of course.
Damn, really chasing the furry music market.
Yeah.
We love our niche audiences, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, furries have deep pockets. If they can afford extravagant suits, then I'm sure they can afford to buy a vinyl or support you on Bandcamp or wherever.
Shout out furries, shout out LARPers. Mm-hmm. I want to get into the LARPing community.
Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. This new EP is really an exercise in reflection. I mean, the whole thing is reflecting on growing up, realizing that adults know as much as they think they might, being sad, being anxious, and embracing your cultural identity as well. What are the sort of lessons or takeaways from this reflection and the material it informs on the new record?
Oh, wow. I think in hindsight, we realized that the songs in the order we put them kind of reflect the stages of grief.
Mm.
I think the lesson at the end that I hope to take away is kind of in What My Bones Know during the bridge, particularly, where I'm kind of accepting maybe this is my place. Maybe I went through all of this so that I could be the voice of my ancestors or people like me or anyone who kind of feels like they didn't belong growing up. What's some of the lyrics? Getting out of my head, getting out of my bed, gotta fix this mess. I can't deny the bitter tears I've cried. Mm. Got a taste of life, can't stop the fight.
Mm.
I'll pay the price. I can't deny it's not just my life. So I think kind of accepting that maybe my individual life isn't important, but it's kind of being part of the overall collective.
Mm. There's a holistic sort of view to it.
Yeah, but then also the acceptance that, like stages of grief, which I think everyone goes through as they grow older, and kind of realize that being an adult is kind of hard and fucked up in a way, that maybe I'll go backwards, and maybe sometimes I'll still be angry, and maybe sometimes I'll still be anxious, but I hope I can always remember, like, the real point of all this, if there is one.
I like that you said it's, you might be angry at some point, because that reminds me of Human Bean Instruction Manual, which was a track from Pickle Darling, came out last year, and there's some really lovely lyrics in there about it's okay to be angry, it's okay to be sad. But I posed the same question to you, Hon. What were the sort of reflections that you were getting out of the sort of material and subject matter from this EP?
Gosh, well, I was part of the lyric writing for What My Bones Know.
Mm.
And I think having just traveled Southeast Asia to shoot the music video, it was really like the first time I kind of traveled around without like just going to go see my parents and coming home. And just seeing and experiencing Southeast Asia through that lens. And like there was this feeling of like, gosh, this is where I've come from. This like struggle, this battle to like, you know, get the next paycheck, because like it's not like a third world country, but like, you know, there's still like developing parts and people still like on the streets and struggling to like, you know, make a living. And just thinking about how my family had come from that, and now I have been one of the first in like that family to go to a Western country and
get educated
and then like come back for like a music thing as well, you know, which is crazy. Like that didn't seem possible at all. And like just to feel that weight and expectation, I guess, of like all the work that they have put through, like, you know, the generations of people to end up with me. And I guess just recognizing like, oh, look, I'm not actually, yeah, like it's not just my life. It's all of their lives, my ancestors' lives through me. And then like, also, like, the work I do for the next generation, I guess.
I really agree with all those sentiments. And even, like, feeling like we don't belong, like, because of our culture and, like, living in a Western country, literally looking different than other people. I think it was interesting to be like, oh, Kiwi ingenuity and, like, Asian hustle culture is kind of similar. And I studied entrepreneurship myself, so I'm like, oh, maybe this is an extension of like literally my family hustling in the rice fields, like on the street, like trying to sell lottery tickets and stuff. which is my family background.
That's amazing. I want to touch on the sort of holistic ancestral view of things. My dad has been saying recently, it's really, really cute. He's been saying, whenever you look at yourself in the mirror, you've got all your ancestors staring back at you, which is really, really sweet.
Yeah.
It's real
and
cute.
I think, yeah, I hope that everybody in Aotearoa that happens to listen to our EP can relate, because we're all kind of from other places.
Like, yeah. Unless you, I guess you're Maori. They're OGs. But yeah, the rest of us, we're all just like, oh, what the heck? I mean, yeah, it's a strange little country that we live in. I want to touch on the track Komorebi, which is a real highlight for me on this thing. I mean, I love this song. It's using the Japanese term Komorebi, which means sunlight leaking through the trees, as a metaphor to sort of protect you from anguish. And these trees, they protect you from both the storm and from being drowned in sunlight. How did that metaphor come about in terms of songcraft?
So I grew up in Virginia in the US, and there's heaps of like huge tall trees. I think a lot of them are like oak trees and things like that. So I kind of found myself as a kid wandering through the forest a lot, like in my backyard, in the creeks. And I really liked, yeah, seeing the sunlight coming through. And I would go with my godfather, who the song's inspired about a lot. I'd go with my mother, who the song's kind of inspired about too. And then as I was writing it, I was like, is there a word that can capture like the feeling of the sunlight coming through the trees, not just direct on you? And I literally was Googling it, and then all of a sudden, like, the word Komorebi popped up. And I was like, oh, it's so crazy to consider how language shapes our worldview, as a quick side tangent, like, and the way that we experience life because of different words that exist. But I decided it fit perfectly, so I just used it. And actually, I was trying to learn a Radiohead song. It was High and Dry. Oh, and then I got bored. So I rearranged the intro chords to make my own riff. And then that's kind of how Komorebi got started.
Oh, that's nuts, man. I didn't know that you were from Virginia, but now I can kind of hear a little bit of an American accent going on there in the background.
Yeah.
Crack up. Well, it's a really exciting EP to listen to. Is there going to be a tour where we can hear it live in Te Waipounamu? Are you going to be coming down to Otatahi Christchurch or Te Pōti Dunedin? Is that on the horizon for 2026?
We would love to. So if anybody out there wants to host us and help set up a gig, please.
We're really lightly considering putting on a tour in May if somebody wants to help us. That would be amazing.
True. Well, if there's anyone wanting to get in touch, you can find these folks if you just Google Club Ruby, it'll show up with your Instagram, right? Actually,
exactly.
When I Googled your band name yesterday, it came up with Club Rugby instead.
Some people have typoed that in some articles.
It
might still turn up.
Yeah, it's very true. All right, well, thank you for coming on the program, Hon and Jade. I really appreciate your time. I just want to know one more thing, and that is, do you have any final thoughts, words, opinions, considerations you want to leave with our lovely listeners?
Oh, wow. I think in this day and age of AI, like, saturating us with fake creativity and things like that, like, I think the most punk thing that you can do is to express yourself through art and get off your damn phone. Mm. Like, and I think no matter how little of a drop in the ocean you think you're making, not all art is made to be consumed, first of all. But if you put it out there, as long as it touches, like, one person and, like, makes someone feel seen, I really think that's the point of all this.
Completely agree. What about you, Hon?
My head, sorry, is just stuck on my wall right now, which has failed, so I'm just thinking about my damn car, but... Take care of your car, guys. Get your walk done. Do not leave it to the last minute.
Very good idea. Be timely. Don't be silly. All right. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate that chat. Take care.
This
was incredible. Thanks so much, Zach.
Thank you. All right, folks. That was Jade and Hon from the band Club Ruby, who are based up in Tamaki Makaurau. They just released their new sophomore EP called Don't Gaslight Me. Gaslighting. You should watch those ChatGPT videos where people try and tell that they're getting run over by a car, and it's just like, no, you didn't. You should do that, and you should also listen to this new Club Ruby EP. We're going to play the track Komorebi, and then we'll have more silly yarns with Max and Karen. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked. Take care.
A Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.